You're listening to A Midlife Less Ordinary, the weekly podcast giving you the lowdown on becoming a cool older dude. The good times are not a faded memory. It's time to start living them again. And here are your hosts, Wayne and Trev.
Welcome back to A Midlife Less Ordinary, and this episode is entitled Christopher Shane 10 High. My name's Wayne, my partner Trev's here.
Yep, we've landed on Planet Rock again.
And Planet Classic Rock, Trev, isn't it?
I think if you want to be that specific, yes, it is Planet Classic Rock, because that's what Chris is.
And just to clarify, when I said you're my partner, we're not coming out here to anything. What,
coming out of our space we're, capsules?
Yes, that's what I was trying to say.
You want to stay in there?
I'm staying in. I'm staying in the space.
With me?
Yeah.
You want to stay in there with me?
I don't think I should explain this too far because I just don't know what 2021 means. But yeah, today's Christopher Shane, 10 High. Christopher Shane, American.
New EP.
New EP for Christopher Shane Band. Straight out of Phoenix. It's a 5-piece. This band are making waves in America, fist pumping, classic sounding. Trev, tell us what you know about Christopher Shane.
Old school rock, old school kind of beer rock, entertaining. That's the good thing. Yeah, none of this shoegazing Eddie Vedder nonsense anymore, as much as I love Pearl Jam back in the day. It's all about entertainment. So an old school classic rock feeling like AC/DC, Rose Tattoo, Aerosmith. You can hear a bit of ZZ Top in there. There's a southern vibe going on. Up my alley. Very kind of, you can imagine seeing him live and there'd be like a bit of a big kind of crowd and just, you know, getting into it.
The videos, the music videos that you can find on YouTube, if anyone's listening, look go to YouTube, like, type in Christopher Shane. The videos are fun, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it really, really kind of sums up. When you watch it, it likes to pour the bottle. It's got a real kind of, as though you're really with him there.
Participating with him,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's what's missing in music now and again. They tell you what, if you want to put them in a kind of modern day, like bands that have been around for the last 10 years instead of the sort of old bands I've mentioned, they're probably like a sort of southern rock version of Airborne, the Australian band, who were just like AC/DC. But they're doing it with a kind of southern vibe, which is great.
Would it make sense if I said like The Darkness as well? Because that's the vibe I get when I watch them.
The sort of entertainer.
Yeah, sorry, Justin Hawkins.
Flamboyant. Yeah. Chris has got that about him, which I think is really good, like the hair flick and, you know, the sort of slow motion guitar in the air, you know, he's rocking it. That's what it's all about. You know, because we've had all this kind of lockdown and no gigs, you know, there's a time and a place for like bands that kind of want to get deep and meaningful, like with someone like Harrison last week that kind of had that. And there's time, but every now and again, you just want to see someone run onto that stage and just bang it out, you know, just kind of like, you know, not like that. Like, I knew, here we go.
I'm just doing, I'm turning it around. So I wasn't saying anything.
Suppose it kind of depends on what stages you want to go on, you know. That's the thing.
I wasn't thinking the back streets of Soho anytime soon.
Get a bit slippery.
Yeah, exactly.
Could go anywhere.
But yeah, this is what we need at this day and age. And I'm sure these guys will be making waves over in the UK very soon. And this is Pour the Bottle by the Christopher Shane Band, available now.
Problem, ain't been home in 2 weeks.
So without further ado, let's put Chris through his paces and hopefully he'll join us on another Test the Guest trip against you on our specialist subject this week. So over to you, Chris.
So you've never been to England, I take it, man?
I have not, but I listen to so much stuff over there that I try to like, because I mean, like one of my biggest early influences was The Darkness, right?
Oh, really? Cool.
See, I said that, didn't I? I said,
you did, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, them and because I saw them when they first had their, when they first like exploded.
Oh, the Permission to Land era.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So I saw them when I was a teenager. For that first US tour, and that I was just like, yeah, no, this is what I want to do. Let's do this.
It's really weird with The Darkness because I had a real sort of love-hate thing with them at first.
Right.
When they first came out with all the high voices and the, and I was immediately attracted to them because their guitarist, the brother, had always had a Thin Lizzy t-shirt on, and they're my favorite band ever. So I was like, that's marked now.
Yeah.
When they first come out, I thought they're taking the piss a bit here with all the real high voices and stuff.
Yeah.
And it kind of, they grew on me, and I saw them support Lynyrd Skynyrd and Deep Purple. And I saw them at a couple of festivals, and they were so into it and so sincere with it.
Yeah.
That I was just like, they're not, they really love this stuff. They're not just this band sort of doing a Spinal Tap and like taking rock fans for a bit of a ride and saying, because in England, I don't know what it was like in the States, but in England, they had quite a different fan base. They had people that you wouldn't expect to listen to a great deal of rock music.
Right.
They were. Yes. Yeah, no, because they even supported Robbie Williams over here.
Oh, that's insane. That's awesome.
Exactly. What, like, again, that crowd, I think that the bill was Moby, The Darkness, and Robbie Williams.
That's crazy. Yeah, that does not make sense at all. That's awesome.
Exactly, no. And I know you guys with Lollapalooza and stuff had some really different bills, but that one was just like...
That one's... Well, I mean, here, you know, we have... what's the one out in the middle of the desert that that's in...
Is that Bonnaroo?
No, it's... on Joshua Tree in that general area. It's a huge deal, and I'm going to get slaughtered for not remembering it. But the big thing is like the most diverse set list you could possibly imagine. And every night it's always like Nine Inch Nails and Kanye West and like all these bands. Like, and they just do it, you know? And but that's about as close as we get. Usually now when you see the big tours, and they kind of sweep through with six bands on the bill. Usually it's all same genre. Everybody knows what they're getting, you know, kind of a thing.
Safe bet, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that kind of bills like Lollapalooza and that kind of stuff. I think the thing with that was back in the kind of early '90s, early 2000s, because heavy metal was such a dirty word, wasn't it?
Oh yeah.
It was, you know, to be honest, I was brought up for all of it. So, all of a sudden, you were kind of, I don't want to listen to Judas Priest. I don't want to listen to Iron Maiden. And like, I was the biggest Maiden fan as a teenager ever. All of the textbooks, all of that. Right. And then all of a sudden, it was like, you were like, no, I shouldn't. And it's when I look back, it was sort of heartbreaking. I thought, but it was so fashionable to be into more alternative bands all of a sudden. Because it just like everyone was cutting their hair. It was like, so I remember getting Load, Metallica's album.
Oh, yeah.
And I was a massive. And I remember looking at the back and I was like, that's not the guys that are on the back of Master of Puppets. I know you've all got to move forward. I appreciate that. Unless you're Motorhead or you're Slayer or AC/DC, cool. Yeah. You know, but you have to move with it because some of the best bands ever, like Queen and Rush, have like so diverse. And that's the Police. That's how it is.
That's how it should be too.
Exactly. Like
I think it's really exciting to listen to a band throughout their career and understand, because I mean that's part of the story of the band, right?
Exactly.
You know, you can hear like, oh, they were so and so was going through a divorce, and it's, you know, you can hear it in all of these, you know, and that kind of a thing. I kind of love that. Like my favorite Queens of the Stone Age record is like Clockwork, mainly because a lot of that record is written about him going through a coma, you know, yes. And what that means to him and how much all of that like changed him as a person. Like, that's cool. I love hearing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So. Queens of the Stone Age were a really funny band for me because I was like the world's biggest Kaius fan.
Oh, yeah.
Like, absolutely worship Kaius. I was into that whole stoner rock thing massively.
Right.
And all of a sudden, Josh Homme, it all fell apart when they were just going to be massive.
Mm-hmm.
I remember they'd just come off a tour with Metallica in Australia, and you had Dave Grohl on MTV when he's been interviewing Nirvana. And they said, do you think like Nirvana's the future of rock and roll? And he actually said on TV, I remember sitting there as about a 19, 20-year-old, and I was like, he just mentioned Kaius. Right. He just said, Kaius are going to be the biggest thing ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then they just disappeared. And then like Josh Homme come out with like the first album, the three of them, and it had a real, it's still really stoner rock.
Oh, yeah.
And then.
It's super weird, too. It's got its own.
That's Chris Goss, isn't it? That's Chris Goss. That's that Master of Reality thing. Yeah, like when Mark Lagan got involved with the Screaming Trees.
Right.
They had that kind of. And I think Nick Oliveri had that craziness about him, didn't he? Being in the
He kind of had that like punk rock aggression kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, ever since he's not been in the band, you could kind of hear Josh just try to get more closer. I don't want to say pop, but like he's playing with those, you know, that kind of energy. Just super interesting. But
To be honest though, again, like with pop music, some of it's brilliant. You know, it's just this, you know, if you look back on even as like a band like sort of Supertramp. They were just a pop band, really.
Yeah.
But look how great they were. And we obviously won't mention though Kevin Spacey's favorite band. We'll try to come away from that.
right. Yeah.
That's the thing. Just because it's pop music doesn't make it lousy.
Nope.
Everything kind of has got its place. There's two types of music in my eyes, or my ears, should I say, and that's good and bad. Because I was, again, Wayne and I were brought up when hip hop was huge.
Oh yeah.
So when I was at school, I don't know about you because you're a lot younger than us, I think. You are.
don't rub it in.
I've been in a bar and been posed this question. I know they're just, oh yeah, that's crazy. Three, four.
But yeah, like with that, when that came out, and it was like some of that was as aggressive as. Iron Maiden and Motorhead I was listening to.
Yeah.
So hanging about with like guys that were into Public Enemy at NWA, it was the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you listen to Michael Jackson's vocals on, you know, Black and White and like those kind of songs and everything like Scream and everything like he's doing metal vocals.
Yes.
Over pop music. I mean, that's basically what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even go so far as say there's good and bad music. There's just music you're not into and music you're into. Yeah. And, you know, like it just, if it hits the same way, I mean, that's why we ended up doing the Billie Eilish song. Cause like, you know, that record's really cool. And there's a bunch of really interesting stuff. And that was probably, I mean, because that song is blues form anyway. I recognized at the moment that it, you know, I heard it. But like, you know, you listen to some of those other darker songs on there and it's like interesting and on a pop platform, it's very subdued and dark. And I love that stuff, man. I just, you know, that's why I mean, even when we're bridging into, you know, some of our country styles and everything like that. There's some country that's just not for me. There's some metal that's not for me. I mean, it's all over the place. So I just, you just take the things you like and put it out there.
Right. Yeah. It's funny. Cause like with a lot of the kind of alternative metal and stuff like that, I'm a big fan of Tool and stuff, but I can't listen to Rammstein. I just can't.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So many people are into it. And I just, you know, when you just don't get it, no matter how hard you think it's not bad, you know, it's not bad, but you just,
no.
doesn't sink in. It just, you just, so it's best to kind of just flip the page and go on to something that you, you know, talking of the sort of country thing, because obviously living in England, the country thing is getting a lot bigger.
All
of a sudden again, we were kids, and Wayne had backed me up on this, that they used to have like a country TV show, didn't they, Wayne?
Yeah.
On like a Friday evening.
Yeah.
The sort of thing your mum and dad would listen to, like, or watch with Dolly Parton and stuff like that, and Kenny Rogers.
Right.
But obviously in the States, the country thing is so huge because it's obviously born from you guys. So for the English to really kind of embrace it again now is quite a strange thing, because we've got no... I don't know. I don't remember there being a radio station dedicated to it, when obviously with you guys, it's on the airwaves all the time.
Yeah, there's four stations I could point you to locally that are playing it right now.
Really? Yeah, see, it's just...
Well, I mean, it's basically what happened was, is the fervor that happened in the late 80s, early 90s around rock and metal and that, like, arena music, you know, that is now what country is, pop country is in the States. It's there. I remember going to a couple of shows and I couldn't tell you the artist, but, and seeing it, and it was no different than anything Bon Jovi had done before. You know, like, I mean, like, show wise and everything like that. Like, and I remember going to, here in Arizona, we have a festival called Country Thunder, and it's obnoxious.
In a good way or bad?
In a fantastic way.
Oh, good, man.
Like, because, like, everybody gets their campers and they're, you know, they're living on the property, and it goes on for 3 days, and there's a Ferris wheel and a whole carnival section and three stages, and it's huge. And I remember my girlfriend at the time, she was fighting with me, and I was looking around going, you picked the wrong day to fight with me, because the women here are just insane. They're doing the exact same thing they did in the 80s, you know? So I'm just like,
look,
man.
At me, Chris, look at me. You're saying?
I know. I just remembered, like, just, it's a movement. That's what
so
it
when,
is.
So when's that on again? Because you might fly over for
that. Yeah, I think we'll come over
You should. Once I think Arizona's pretty much open up anyway. So I'll let you know. I'll send you a thing on Facebook. Man.
Yeah. Because we were supposed to, they've got one over here that I think it's been cancelled for the last 2 years. We only had tickets, the country to country one, because the Cadillac 3 were on. Have you played with them? You have, haven't you?
Yeah. We played a couple of times. Yeah.
They're massive, kind of exploding over here.
Oh,
perfect. They really have. Perfect. The good thing is there's loads of those kind of bands, because Blackberry Smoke have just announced some dates over here as well, and I'm a massive Blackberry Smoke fan. We both like the Cadillac 3 as well. And it shows you how big Blackberry Smoke have become, because when I first got into them, I couldn't actually get their albums over here. They weren't signed to Roadrunner or anything.
Right.
And then all of a sudden now they're virtually sold out that whole entire tour within the first couple of hours. I struggled to get tickets for them this morning. I was at work, like, behind in our office, like, I've got to get tickets. And I was like, this has never happened before. And I think looking at their social media, they've actually just got in the top 10 over here, album-wise.
Wow.
For a country size southern rock band.
Yeah, it's, I mean, amazing. They're kind of straddling the line. I mean, early Cadillac 3 for me, because I mean, I grew up with blues music, right?
Yeah.
So early Cadillac 3 really hits that, like really hits me just right.
Same as me.
And
it was a lot heavier, wasn't it?
It was a lot heavier. I mean, you listen to I'm Southern and you hear that riff and the way those drums are. It's just, it's humongous.
Yeah.
And I love that stuff, man. And and what's funny is in the band, I lean more Cadillac 3 with the kind of groove based stuff. And Dave, my guitarist and writing partner, he's more on the Blackberry Smoke side of just like, you know, they have, Blackberry Smoke has this incredible energy about them. And it's just, it's kind of, they kind of give me the same feeling that like, kind of ZZ Top had, where ZZ Top is amazing, not because they were the most flashy or the most anything really, but they were just ZZ Top and they were cool. You know, exactly, each lick was tasteful. Everything was perfectly placed. And Blackberry Smoke definitely hits that where it's just, this is what it is and boom, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And I
think the thing as well with them is they've just taken the sort of Skinner thing and the Allman Brothers with the sort of, and they've put it together where it is a bit, it's got, obviously there's a, you can hear a big Black Crowes influence in there. And they've kind of put all that together. So all the fans of those bands have just embraced them completely, you know? Yeah. Listening to your stuff, because I didn't know a lot about you until, again, through all the kind of sort of the Cadillac 3, Blackberry, all these kind of bands, I was seeing stuff coming up on social media.
Yeah.
And you came up and I was like, oh, and, you know, I, even though I've been listening to music since I was like 7 and 8.
Yeah.
New music, if I get a snippet of it and it gets in, then I've got to know about it.
Right.
And listening to your stuff as well, one of the best things about it, in my opinion, is it's such kind of good time beer rock kind of thing. You know, that Give a Damn tune is just like anthemic. It's just like,
thank you, man.
You can just, you can just imagine like a festival and you guys opening with it and people's heads would just turn and the fists would go up. And there's nothing like that. You know, that's the thing about that kind of music. And I think it's so cool that it's come back into vogue. It's not just shoe staring anymore. Don't get me wrong.
No.
That grunge was great. There was brilliant bands in that grunge era. But to actually kind of have a front man that's kind of rocking it out, and that's like with Airborne and all those bands. You want that now. You want to, what we've been through with all this kind of lockdown and stuff. You want to hear good time rock music.
Yeah.
You know, again. Dude, I mean, that's one thing you're doing, which is amazing.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I try to keep everything like focused on, obviously we want to put on a good show and everything like that, but like, we want to make sure that everybody who is at the show is having a good time, you know? Cause I did a lot of entertainment stuff and everything like that. And so, I really try to focus on the crowd. What is the crowd into? What are we, you know, and pointing it out and acknowledging it, you know, like making sure that we are all in every single thing together is a big thing for me, because, you know, I've been to those shows where you feel so disconnected from like what's happening on stage. And it just, it's cool from like a fishbowl perspective, but there's something about knowing that everybody is in there going for the same thing. And especially when you're at a concert, it's to put aside all of the BS and everything that you went through in the week, the day, whatever it is.
I am to forget about everything.
I'm just here. Escapism. You know, let's exactly. Yeah. So I like to embrace that and take that and just say, we're all here. We're all here to help each other. We're all here to make sure everybody's having a good time. Yeah. And that's all there is to it.
Definitely. Yeah. That is rock and roll though, isn't it? You are doing it, Chris. You really, did you want to say something, Wayne? Sorry. I've been,
no, it's fine.
On about
I've had it. I'm loving it. Yeah, no, it's all great. Chris, I just wanted to say, like, I read that, obviously you hosted your skills as a showman, because that's a big part of your act, obviously, and what you do as a karaoke host. You loved it. You love Aerosmith.
I didn't know.
And how important, I mean, obviously it's important, but how much importance do you put on that side of it? There's an entertainer and a showman as well as a musician.
You know, I think it's, the albums are like the albums, right? If you want to hear crystallized versions of the music and everything like that, you go to the record. If you are going to a show, I expect that you're going there for some kind of entertainment. So I think live wise, I put way more energy into making sure that the show is fun and energetic and everything's going on. You know, cause it's, I've been to those shows where everybody gets sick or, you know, whatever. You know, sometimes you had a little too much fun the night before and hey, yeah. This is what I'm able to do.
We don't know
do
that
right
feeling,
now.
Chris. Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah.
That.
No, no, yeah. No, yeah. We're not familiar with this, Chris.
Yeah. You know? No.
He says take another stick out of his drink.
Exactly. Right. And it's just like, yeah, I think when you go to a show, you want some form of entertainment. And I think the best feeling for that entertainment, that best energy and that best vibe is when you feel lockstep with the people who are performing for you and the people who are performing with you, you know? Yeah, and that's definitely. Why we try to put this into the show as much as we can, but we love our crowd participation moments. We love I check in pretty often, you know, in the middle of songs in fact, that's one thing that, cause we just got our new drummer and I had to program into him. I had to say like, all right, you are just going to go and vamp on this part until I give you the cue to continue the rest of the song, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, we bake a lot of that stuff in there because I think, you know, and I think of like, Aerosmith and Guns N' Roses and those kind of bands, there was always that excitement there from the real people playing it in front of you. And there's always that little bit of tinge of it, like almost could fall apart at any moment. Yeah, like you could really tell, you know?
Yeah, that's rock and roll, isn't it?
Yeah, that's rock and roll.
You never knew what the next sort of, even going back to Jerry Lee Lewis and stuff, you didn't know what he was going to do next. That is part of it. Yeah.
I don't rehearse my speeches. I don't do anything like that. So, which has gotten me in trouble a couple of times and probably will in the future.
Talking of getting you in trouble, Chris, we have a segment every week on the show, which is just a bit of fun, which is called Test the Guest. And it's usually a subject that the guest is passionate about. Obviously, it's about, and we've chosen Southern Rock because obviously that is what you're passionate about.
Okay,
funny
let's
enough,
do it.
It's just a bit of fun. Funny enough, usually Trevor gets trounced in this, but he's actually quite au fait with this because this is his specialist subject. So this would be a bit of a contest. So, because he's been around a while, like myself, we're getting on a bit. So. it's just a bit of fun. Are you okay to take part in that, Chris?
Sure. I'm horrible with names, dates, and places. So let's do it.
Oh, good stuff.
You'll be cool, man. You'll be good with it.
Brilliant. Great.
Right.
Test the guest.
A first question to, who shall I ask this one to? Oh, let's ask this one to Trev.
Need a buzzer.
I'm going to start with Trev. I've got the buzzer. Don't worry about that.
Oh, okay.
The Allman Brothers band paved the way for many other Southern rock acts. In what year was the band formed, Trev? 1967, 1968, 1969, or 1970? I'm very sorry to give you that. It was that the big breakthrough came in.
You're off to a good start.
The big breakthrough came in 1969. Sorry, and the first album was A Fillmore East.
Yeah, I knew that. I just couldn't think what year when it came out.
You were going to say that, weren't you?
That was my next guess. So,
this one for you, Chris. This Jacksonville, Florida-based band was flirting with disaster to have their first hit. Who were they? I think you'll know this.
Of course, it's Molly Hatchet.
You don't need the multiple choice. Yeah. No,
you were going to play with those.
I
saw that on your stories and stuff.
I mean, right now, bands are just figuring their stuff out. Right?
Yeah.
The world just turned on, so we're kind of in this middle ground between knowing what we can do, what we can't do, what is allowable, what is not allowable. Mm-hmm. So it just turned into a big scheduling thing. And so we were like, yeah, you know what? We're just going to do it got moved to August. So we're still doing that show, but like we just decided, you know what? Hey, we spent all this time. Let's actually do a show. So that's kind of what we did.
So you still applied, which is good. Brilliant. Yeah. Superb. Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Go again, Wayne.
Yeah, it's your turn, Trev. Number three, how many members of Lynyrd Skynyrd were unfortunately killed in their tragic 1977 plane crash? I'll give you the multiple choice. Three members and a backup singer. All original members were killed. One member or two members and a backup singer.
Steve Gaines, Ronnie Van Zant, and Steve Gaines' sister.
So what are you saying?
And I think, and just their road manager and the two pilots.
Now you're naming all of them. I think there were six wasn't there? But, yeah. I mean, that's good. I mean, it's good, but it's not the question.
So it was two and a backup singer.
Oh, well done.
Only because I saw that controversial movie they've just released.
Yeah, I shouldn't.
Artemis Pyle's kind of pushed, and the rest of the band hate it, but yeah. I had to see it. Yeah.
Question four to you, Chris.
All right.
What Dixie Rockers told us to keep your hands to yourself in 1986?
Give me no lines, keep your hands to yourself.
He knows it.
Look. He doesn't know you just read out the multiple choice, do you?
No.
It's like right on the tip of my tongue.
I like the acting, Chris. It's great.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
No, seriously. You're building tension, Chris.
It's Georgia Satellites.
Yay. Top man.
What's funny is that guy, the guy behind it, did another band called the Yahoos, who did a version of Dancing Queen by ABBA, that is where we play that song in our set, and that's where we got the idea from. And we kind of
I was going to ask you about that, Chris.
I've got that
as a question. I was going to say apparently you opened up for ZZ Top at Arizona Bike Week with 20,000 bikers rocking to Dancing Queen. How did you know you would get away with that?
We didn't. We were terrified. We were like, this is either going to go over so bad, and we will be thrown from the stage, or everybody's going to love it. And
it worked.
Luckily, it was the latter, but man, there was like the first, like right before we got to the first You Can Dance part, we were all just like on stage, like, all right, here we go. See?
Brilliant.
You didn't wear the outfits, did you, Chris?
No. I didn't have my whole truck there full of spandex and everything.
Yeah, they would have got quite an idea if you'd have come walking out on that. They'd have been like,
Yeah, that might have been a little too. At least we were wearing all black. I think I had a Motorhead shirt on. You know, like we were able to like at least assimilate it. You know,
good stuff. Trev, question five to you: the Elvin Bishop song "Fooled Around, Fell in Love" was actually sung by Mickey Thomas. What rock supergroup did Thomas later join? Was it A. Jefferson Starship, B. the Eagles, C. Journey, or D. Fleetwood Mac?
This is going to be a guess.
Go on then.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just really want to go for Journey. I know it's probably not, but I don't know
why.
Is
that your answer?
Yeah, go on. Exactly.
It's Jefferson Starship. Georgia-born Mickey Thomas got his break when he provided lead vocals on the 1976 top three hit "Fooled Around and Fell in Love." You was alive then, Trev, so you should know that.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Chris would have had the excuse.
Just broadcasting that out to everybody. Yeah, that's right. Great.
Yeah, everyone knows how old you are. last question to Chris. Which of these southern rock bands featured the younger brother of a key Lynyrd Skynyrd member? Was it the Dixie Dregs, Blackfoot, Ozark Mountain Daredevils, or Point 38 Special?
Zach is our big Lynyrd Skynyrd guy too. And he will murder me. I think it's Blackfoot, right?
Oh no, I don't like to do this to you, Chris. I don't want to do this to you. I was hoping for a clean sweep, but it's Point 38 Special. Donny Van Zandt's younger brother, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Ronnie Van Zandt, rocked it out as co-lead singer of Point 38 Special. The band formed in 1975. To be fair, it's before your time. So
here we go.
We can excuse that.
I got a good out.
talking of Blackfoot, I know they're still going and they're still really cool. Mm-hmm. Talking of like ZZ Top being cool, how frigging cool is Ricky Medlock still?
He's
just an incredible, because I was a huge Blackfoot fan. When Marauder came out, I was about 12, 13.
Right.
It was just like, I still think that that's probably one of the best Southern rock albums ever made.
Yeah.
Marauder. Yeah. It's just killer. It really is. And you see Ricky Medlock now, and you just think, he's just the epitome of cool. He's just still got that passion for it. And the way he even come back, and he's played with the new Blackfoot, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. In the videos and stuff. You think, that's well cool. That he's still, you know, banging it out there. It's just, he's just got that, hasn't he? He really has.
Yeah, it's. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's something about, and I think that just comes from, you know, years of just doing it and success. And you know, we all hope to get to that point of like self-actualization where it's like, yeah, man, cool. I'm just me, and I'm just going to keep doing this thing, and that's what I do.
Yeah.
And I admire that spirit and that energy, because, you know, every now and then I'll be like, well, why didn't we get blah, 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 you know, whatever. And, you know, when you meet those people, it's like, oh, yeah, no, they're just going to do their thing, and that's awesome.
Wait, so. You've gone on to, like, you're on another record label now. Is it Carry On Records?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really weird, because that the name of that in England, Carry On, means something completely different to us.
Oh, okay.
Because they're like real old established English comedies from the 70s, like films.
Awesome.
So yes, they are, honestly.
Very British centric.
Some of them out. Yeah. So British.
Yeah, right.
Overly sexist from the 70s, like boobs falling out, aren't they, Wayne? They are just. So if you get a chance, when I saw the record label you'd signed to, I was like, Carry On Records.
Yeah.
How cool is that? It's just like, but to you guys, it's just another.
Yeah, it's just another name. Yeah.
Do you feel like now, because obviously Turning Stones was independent, wasn't it?
Yep. You
did it independently. So, signing for that record label, do you feel like it's give you more freedom to do what you want to do? You're not trying to be anything else. You are. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, because like before that, we had a lot of identity issues because, you know, we would hear from labels and managements and booking agents and all these people who are like, we like it. We don't know what box to put it in. We don't know, is it country? Is it rock? Is it this? Is it that? All that stuff. And Carry On was the first one that we talked to where they're just like, we want you guys to be you. And so as we're in the finishing stages of like lining up this next record, they are, you know, it's everybody's kind of in it, and it feels like we don't necessarily have to like prove our sound anymore.
Brilliant. Yeah. That's how it should be, man.
Yeah. Cause that, I mean, we were like, we'd had people say like, oh, you kind of sound like the dude from Shinedown. You guys should sing a Shinedown type song. And we're like, well, that's kind of not our wheelhouse. We'll write it and we'll see what it does. But like, I don't feel comfortable doing that. Or we'd have like, you need to be more old country. It's like, it's still not kind of our vibe, you know? And so they came along and they're like, just do you guys. We just want to hear more of that. It's like, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it. Let's do it.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very quickly to sort of sum up. Wayne was telling me earlier on, and I don't know if it is true, it's probably one of the coolest heavy metal stories I've ever heard. You were actually in the room with your mum. You're not going to say that, didn't you? I can see you know exactly going to say a Motley Crue gig.
Oh, like, yeah.
That outdoes like the heavy metal parking lot film that Judas Priest did, doesn't it?
Right.
Because when Wayne told me about that, I was like, that's like the most coolest heavy metal story that you could ever sort of have as a pre-born, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that was pre-born. Like,
that's a new word.
That's just like, just kind of like metal in the room straight away. You were just played it in there, you know?
I heard it in there. Apparently, I was kicking a lot, so
either
I was really into it or not, but I'm going to lean on the into it thing, just given how things worked out. But yeah.
So which one of your parents let you know about that? Or did they both just say, son, you were a preview?
Oh, no, that was my mom all day. Are you kidding me? Right. That's badge of honor proudness right there. I grew up around those hair metal type bands and everything like that. And that's why I took a liking to like Aerosmith and those kind of guys.
Yeah, sure.
And so, but yeah, she's kind of the reason that I'm now in rock or whatever this is.
Brilliant.
True story.
Superb. Great stuff. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Been please come to the on. UK as soon as everything's back to normal, Chris. We're looking forward to seeing you.
Soon as we can ensure that it's going to happen, I'll let you guys know for sure.
Top man. And well done for beating Trev in his specialist subject on Test the Kids.
I win.
Good stuff.
Honestly, now, Chris, now you can tell that Motley Crue story to people and you can follow it up and said, I think some limey from the UK absolutely trounced him in a Southern rock competition.
I'll add it.
That's the next badge of honor you've got, man.
I'll add it to my whiteboard right there. Exactly. Write it up there. Accomplishments.
Top man.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for coming on, Chris. We really enjoyed talking to you.
Absolutely, man. Thank you. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks.
See you later.
Take care.
Bye. Well, I think Chris was a really good sport, Trev. I had a feeling he really enjoyed beating you at Test the Guest.
Yeah, well, most people do. I like as well the whole idea of him not knowing what the sort of carry-on thing.
That was because we find it hilarious.
As soon as I read that he'd signed to a record label, Carry On, that's the first thing I thought.
Exactly.
And talking to him because he just didn't have a clue.
Well, actually,
you know, but
there's a funny story actually, isn't there, about how we got to interview him, because obviously when we're doing the podcast, just a bit of technical background here, we use different ways of speaking to the guest. Obviously, at the moment, it's all remote. So we can phone the guest and we plug them into all the, it's all technical stuff. But when we got like three of us on, and obviously I don't want to be calling America for like 50 minutes at a time on my phone.
You normally should do anything.
Busby said I shouldn't be doing stuff like that. that's brought up some memories. So we use Zoom, obviously. So, Trev, I think this was Trev's forte, actually. He arranged a time with Christopher Shane's representatives to come on to Zoom, and we left the link to come on. I believe we might have got the times wrong, because Trev met online on a Friday, and we're sitting there having a drink, and then another drink.
That's a bit dodgy. When I met online on a Friday.
It wasn't on Plenty of Fish, I was like, it's fine. But so we're sitting there, and it was about 4 hours later, and I think we'd finished like a bottle and a half of something, and we thought that obviously Chris wasn't turning up. So I started, just for fun, because we've had a few, just playing a bit of Spitting Image from the 1980s to Trev.
Yeah, we were both big fans of,
and obviously probably not suitable for an audience these days so much. But we're playing that. All of a sudden, I realised that Chris had joined us all of a sudden on a link just out the blue about 1 o'clock in the morning or something. Straight into action. So you might be able to tell, but what a good guy. He talked about ultimate front man he is, isn't he?
Again, he's got the mic stand, he's got the hair flick. It's what you want. It just changes things. It just makes you feel you're part of it, you know. Just the whole kind of, that's what rock and roll needs, a shot in the arm, adrenaline.
Yeah,
you know, his band are cool as well. They're all kind of into it. You got the bass player, the Mohawk and stuff, and you got the guitarist, the long goatee and stuff. You know, the other guitarist has got the mirror shades and the whole look of it. And sometimes you know, I know people should say it's only music, so what they're doing, but you know, image and stuff is cool. It draws you in.
Yeah,
you know, you don't need boring people. You meet enough boring people in life.
Yeah.
You don't need to be kind of, you know, they're not tall. You know, there's place for a lot. I love Tool, but that Tool at all, you know, now and again, you just want to, I'll tell you what, with Chris's music, I listen to it a lot if I'm running and stuff, because it's riffy, it's bouncy. It gives you that
kind of Rocky.
I was going to say that. You're making it sound like a Rocky kind of vibe.
It does. Yeah, and that's what's great. You know, you need that kind of thing. You don't want to listen to
montage. Montage. I can see you doing it.
Yeah. And to be honest, I say now he's just released, hasn't he? Like a video for a surf company, Nitroid.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, check that out on.
And you can hear it. You can hear it. You listen to that, and it has got that sort of California open top Jeep kind of driving along, good weekend, a few beers, fits it perfectly. And we all need that now. Yeah. With what we've been through, we all need that.
First day of summer, on an early afternoon, on a beeline headed out of town, on a good time rendezvous. Beach sand and suntan, yeah, we got a cold six pack or two. On a seaside destination, girl, making memories with you. She said, have a nice ride, nice line. Pop the throttle open wide and leave it all behind. Nice ride, nice line. Catch the waves that floats at you and rise up with the tide,
You know, that sums it up.
Definitely, we could be on the vibe when these guys get over to the UK. Definitely one to go and watch. You will be entertained. Yeah. You could hear what he said. He said, we want the crowd to be entertained at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm really looking forward to that gig.
Yeah, so to be honest, like, get on like iTunes and get on Spotify. And
download 10 Higher. Yeah, it's worth it. 10
Higher. And you won't be disappointed. No. You know, good drinking rock.
Yeah.
You know, exactly, it's just like, yeah, that's what you know. I know I keep saying it, but that. We need that. We want good times back. We really do, you know, especially with live gigs coming up now.
Yeah, exactly. You know? No, that's true. Things are coming back. Let's go. Chris, we really appreciated you joining us for that. We really appreciate it. Good luck to you in the future.
Yeah. Talked about some of my favourite bands in the interview as well, bands like Blackfoot and stuff.
Yeah, he was really good, generous with his time. And,
brilliant. And brilliant.
So, yeah, ChristopherShaneMusic.com. Just Google his name. You'll find all the music videos
watch
online.
Watch the videos.
As always, thank you for listening to us. If you go to our website, www.amlopodcast.com, if you don't mind, leave a review, leave us a message and just tell us, you know, if there's anything you want us to do in season 3, which is coming up very soon. We always appreciate your feedback. Thanks very much for joining us. Any last words, Trev? Not literally last words, hopefully, but I don't want to do it on my own.
I'm still alive, mate. just keep the horns up.
Yeah, definitely.
Ronnie James Dio.
Keep rocking.
The horns up, mate. Keep rocking.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please leave a rating and review and visit our website at www.amlopodcast.com to check out all the links and resources in the show notes. Start living them good times. See you next time.